Good evening. We are so glad you came this evening to celebrate with us Good Friday. It's an opportunity for us to remember the cross of Christ and what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in our behalf. It's a time as well to rejoice in our salvation. The payment for our sin has been accomplished. And so tonight, in music and reading of Scripture, time together, it's a time for us just to fellowship together and enjoy our time of common bond we have in Jesus Christ. I'd like to begin the evening with a word of prayer. Would you bow with me as we begin tonight? Lord God, we could never have imagined or designed the truth of salvation in Christ. We could never have imagined how to remedy the broken relationship that we have with you. But you accomplished in your Son Jesus a once and for all payment for our sins. And now you have reconciled us unto yourselves, unto you through Christ. Thank you for the cross. We remember it tonight, this Good Friday celebration. It's a time for us to reflect upon what it means to be in Christ. And Lord, we do pray that not only tonight, but each and every day, the cross would affect us, would affect our life, would affect the way we think and live. But Lord, we also know that it's not just the cross, but we look forward to Sunday, the resurrection, which is our hope. And so as we sing together, as we read, as we reflect tonight, may you be pleased and may we be strengthened. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good evening. If you'll stand and turn with me to number 639. Number 639, we're going to read together. I'll start, and you respond with the bold print. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth.
By oppression and judgment he was taken away.
And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. Let's sing together 175. Hallelujah, what a Savior. 175. seated.
Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I'm bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." So they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross on the place called the Place of the Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews."
If you'll stand and turn to number 182. We're going to sing this whole Glory in the Cross medley. So we'll start with the reading on 182, and then we'll sing the marked verses of the next three hymns. So we'll start with the responsive reading. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Father, glorify thy name." There came, therefore, a voice out of heaven, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The multitude, therefore, who stood by and heard it, were saying that it had thundered. Others were saying, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice has not come for my sake, but for your sakes. Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world shall be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." But he was saying this to indicate the kind of death by which he was to die. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
But may it never be that I should boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world.
Beneath the cross of Jesus, I pray.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Well, this Good Friday thing is a good idea, isn't it? Wow, we are really blessed. Thank you, Chris, and all of you who participated tonight. The music was tremendous, as always, and there's more, right? Sunday, we still have to look forward to. But we're here tonight because of the cross, and I want to talk about that a little bit. Sunday, we'll gather because of an empty tomb, but tonight we're here because of a cross. Someone died, and it's good for us to have this time to focus on that. We cherish the old rugged cross, don't we? We survey the wondrous cross. We stand beneath the cross, all those things we sang tonight, and we glory in the cross. I don't know if you think about that much. We glory in the cross, and I've been thinking this week that maybe that is a definitive way to talk about who we are and what we do as believers. We are those who glory in the cross. That's what we do. That's who we are. The cross is our glory. It is our boast. And maybe that is the single best way to describe a true believer. True believers glory in the cross of Christ. In fact, we glory only in that. We glory only in the cross. And that's specifically what I want to talk about. Paul said it. We read it in part of our reading there. The text, Galatians 6:14, he said, "But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Why did he say that? And what did he mean by that? Well, the word boast means just that. It means to glory in or to rejoice in. What do you exalt in? What do you revel in? That's the meaning of the word. What do you put your hope and confidence and joy in? We might say it like this. What is your pride and joy? That's what he means. Paul says, what's my pride and joy? Nothing except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in that verse, he says it very emphatically. He uses the strongest, probably the strongest phrase in Greek for saying no. I would not boast in anything. God forbid, some people translate it, or far be it from me. But it's literally, may it never be that I would boast in anything other than the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And turning that around and saying it positively, what he's saying is, I will boast in and only in the cross of the Lord. Now, why is he saying that, and why is he so emphatic and adamant about saying that? You have to understand the context of that passage. Every text has a context. Galatians 6:14 is no exception. In fact, there's not only a context, there's a contrast. And this is why, as believers, like Paul, all of us glory in the cross. We glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ because of the alternative. And there's only one. So listen to the context of Galatians 6:14, verses 12 and following. Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised, simply so that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. You see what's going on there. The alternative is clear. You either boast in the flesh or in the cross. That's the contrast. The religious culture, the climate of that time was this. Gentiles were hearing the gospel and being saved. And then Jews were coming in right behind and telling them, now you know, you need to be circumcised and you need to keep the law and you better remember the Sabbath and we better see you at Sabbath school every day and so on. In other words, they were being told that you need to be good Gentiles by converting to Judaism. And many of these poor Galatians were buying into that, and Paul is writing them to say, no, no, you don't need to do that. Don't get sucked into that religious system. And all through Galatians, he fires little warning shots about that. In 5:1, he says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. If you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. In 3:1, he said, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Were you saved by works or were you saved by faith? In chapter 1, verse 6, he even called their message a different gospel and said, let them be accursed. Let them be damned, these false teachers who were adding works to the gospel of Christ. And so here, as he nears the end of Galatians, he exposes the true motives of all these false teachers. Who are these people? Well, he identifies them. Number one, those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh. That's their agenda, is to look good, to appear righteous before men. That's strike one. Number two, he says they try to compel you to be circumcised so that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. In other words, they're ashamed to identify with Christ and his cross, and so they stick to the old ways of Judaism to avoid persecution. That's strike two. And number three, they do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may then boast in your flesh. And that's strike three. They want another notch in their belt so they can boast in how many converts they've won. Their motives were purely selfish, fleshly motives. And so it's in contrast to that that Paul then says, I don't ever want to boast in anything except the cross of Christ. But what that does is this. All right, listen. He basically then pushes everyone into one of two categories, doesn't he? These are the two options. And all people, not just Jews and Christians, which was this case, but all people of all time, all around the world, fall into one of these two categories. You either make your boast in the flesh or in the cross. That's all there is. We could say it like this. There are only two religions in the world. And we know there are dozens and dozens and dozens of religions in the world. But in reality, there are only two. There's the religion of human achievement and the religion of divine accomplishment. That's all. That's all there are. One is the religion of salvation by works. The other is the religion of salvation by faith. One depends upon what man does. The other depends upon what God did. One is human achievement, one divine accomplishment. One is the flesh, one is the cross. Which box do you check? What's your religion? Those are the only two. And Paul is saying, look, this is what it comes down to. It comes down to these two. People who want to make a good showing in the flesh. People who want to avoid persecution. People who want to keep the law. That is, they want you to do things even though they can't do them or don't do them. People who want to glory in the flesh. That's That's one religion, that's one category, and frankly, that's all religion. And those who glory in the cross of Christ, that's Christianity. And that's all there is. Human achievement or divine accomplishment, works or faith, what man does or what God did, flesh or the cross. And so we glory, obviously, in the cross. Why? Because of the alternative. There's only one alternative. We glory in the cross because we've seen what flesh can do. Right? We glory in the cross because the alternative is to glory in the flesh, and we know better than that. We know, each one of us in this room tonight, we know all too well what our flesh can do. And what can it do? Nothing good. Nothing but sin. Romans 3:12, there is none who does good, not even one. Romans 7:18, for I know that no good thing dwells in me, that is in my flesh. No good thing dwells in me. In fact, Genesis chapter 6, the Lord saw that the evil of mankind was great on the earth and that the intent of his heart was only evil continually. And it's been that way ever since. Nothing's changed. And so we glory, as believers, we glory in the cross because the only alternative is to glory in the flesh. And we know how vain that would be. We know how wretched and wicked we are. We know the heart is more deceitful than all else. Desperately sick, who can know it? We glory in the cross because only the cross could deal a fatal blow to our sin, to our flesh. It took the cross to do that. It took the cross to cleanse us, and it took the cross to change us. That's how amazing, that's how powerful the cross is. That's how horrific it is. It took that to fix us. By his stripes, we are made whole. It took that. Our flesh couldn't do that. Romans 8:3, what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. What does that mean? We glory in the cross because only the cross could sentence sin to death and put it away once and for all so that we could be freed from it and rid of it. That's why we glory in the cross. And that's what it means to be a true believer. It means you're done putting confidence in the flesh. It means you're through forever of trying to make a good showing in the flesh. You don't care about persecution or shame or humiliation. You don't care what the world thinks of you or what the world does to you. What does he say? The world has been crucified to me and I to the world. I don't care about that. There's nothing in this world that compares to the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. You may have all this world, just give me what? Jesus. That's your song now if you've come to Christ and have come to the cross of Christ to have your sin finally and fully taken away and forgiven. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. And so we glory in that. We glory not in ourselves, not in our flesh, not in our works, not in our righteousness, not in the deeds which we have done. May genoito, may it never be. We glory only and always in the cross. You know, what's interesting about this, if anyone might have had reason to boast in the flesh, it was Paul. In fact, he said that, didn't he? Philippians 3, Verse 4, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. He said, you want to play that little game? Okay, fine. I can go toe-to-toe with you on that if you want to boast of human accomplishments. Circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, well, I persecuted the church. As to the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. I mean, here was a religious, devout, highly respected man. The consummate Jew, the ultimate, you know, perfect Israelite. And what did he say about all of that? He said, whatever things were gain to me, those things I have counted as loss, rubbish, for the sake of Christ. All of that is waste, dung, compared to knowing Christ. But he says something else in Philippians 3, right before that. Philippians 3:3, he says, for we are the true circumcision. Not the Jews who are preaching circumcision, but we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Wow. I mean, there's a description of a true believer right there, those three things. Measure yourself by that. We worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Is that you? Is that you tonight? Is it? What is your pride and joy? What is your pride and joy? What do you boast in? What do you glory in? What do you exult in? What is the supreme source of joy in your life? Have you come to the point of recognizing that your only hope is in the finished work of Christ on the cross? Your only hope is what He has already done, not something you could do, but what He has already done. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Is that your boast tonight? Do you cherish the old rugged cross? Are you clinging to the old rugged cross? I hope you are. The Bible says this, Jeremiah, I think it's Jeremiah 17, 5 or somewhere in there. Thus says the Lord. This is a great summary. Cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the desert. Blessed is the man who, what? Trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is the Lord. He will be like a tree planted by the water. There's a picture for you. Cursed or blessed, right? Dead or alive. All depending on what? The object of your trust. Trusting in your flesh, your strength, yourself, your sufficiency, your works, or trusting exclusively and fully in the Lord and His work and His cross. Father, thank you for this time tonight. What a precious time to glory in the cross. And what else would we glory in? Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. That's our only hope, Lord, and you've fulfilled it. So now that's our only boast. And may it be so for everyone here, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. See you Sunday.